supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change, and that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely, thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty wise.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salamun Alaikum, welcome. This is today's special, and we're gonna speak about how to use leisure time.
Salamu Alaikum.
Salamu alaykum. today. Thursday is the 23rd of Shaban, 1444 of the Islamic lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 25th of Isfand, 1401 of the Islamic solar Hijri calendar, and the 16th of March, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For today, let's listen to verse 185 of chapter Al-Baqarah from the Holy Quran and its point.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون.
The month of Ramadan is that in which was revealed the Quran, a guidance for the people and clear proofs of guidance and criterion. So whoever cites the new moon of the month, let him fast it. And whoever is ill or on a journey, then an equal number of other days. Allah intends for you ease and does not intend for you hardship, and wants for you to complete the period and to glorify Allah for that to which He has guided you, and perhaps you will be grateful.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The rising of the moon at the beginning of each lunar month in the form of crescent and then its gradual change can be the source of many uses in the act of practicing worship and the accomplishment of religious duties by people and in their material career as well. Everybody can easily count days of the month and enumerate the month of the year by the help of varying shapes or forms of the moon when dealing with trading and writing agreements due to appointing the time of promises and contracts.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong, a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Let's follow our topic, how to use leisure time. In Islam, leisure is not just what you do when you are not working or studying, but is a way of being, a way of approaching life that brings you closer to Allah. It does not include the idea that there can be any time when a person is absolutely free of any responsibility to do something useful and when he can waste time in ways that are of no benefit. He has duties which he must perform towards Allah and towards other people. Free time is a grace bestowed by Allah to His servants. Allah endows His servants with many blessings, as He says in chapter Al-Ibrahim, that is chapter 14 of the Holy Quran, verse 34, and He gave you from all you ask of Him. And if you should count the favor of Allah, you could not enumerate them. Indeed, mankind is generally most unjust and ungrateful. Again, that was chapter Ibrahim, verse 34.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Today we are going to talk about the Islamic principles for leisure time. In describing the characteristics of a true believer, Imam Ali alayhis salam said, "Such believers do not lose time and always remain busy." This is in Nahjul Balagha, Chosen Words, number 333. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told Abu Dhar al-Ghifari, Abu Dhar, be greedier in spending your time rather than your dirhams and dinars. Imam alayhi salam also said, chances go by like clouds. Therefore, if any chance presents itself, don't hesitate to use it for good work. Otherwise, you will regret it. Losing time is sorrowful. Again, we have it in Nahjul Balagha. This statement has been mentioned by Imam Ali alayhi salam in Chosen Words number 118. Seize on chances, otherwise you will never recover them if they are lost. Imam Hassan alayhi salam has said, the opportunities are lost quickly, but return slowly. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam also has said, I would like to see the youth to be in one of these two states, either scholar or learner. I swear by he who named Muhammad as his messenger, that anything other than these two would be time loss. Anyone who wastes his life is a sinner. This is also another hadith that was mentioned in Bahar al-Anwar by Allam Majlisi. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says, O God, if you have considered any leisure time for us, please make it clean so that no sin will engage us and we will not get tired, so that the angels will return to us with empty records of sins and failed records of goodness.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Okay, now things you should think to invest your time and energy in. One question, does it improve your relationship? An 80-year-long Harvard study showed that relationships, not money, predicted how happy and healthy participants were as they aged. Spending free time with friends and family members or keeping in touch on the phone depends on your relationships and also allows you to share your happiness with others. Another question on today's special. Does it feel challenging? Leisurely activities should still engage you on a level that allows you to utilize your skills and passions, because you're happier when you are fully engaged with something that requires all of our energy. Removing distractions while you complete a task or activity is one way to dial up the intensity. Had a part about successful people and the ways they spend their free time. they have hobbies. Yes, focusing exclusively on work might seem like a fast track to success. With nothing else distracting you, you can funnel your full effort into your job and do in 1 week what would take most people 2. But this approach has a nasty downside. It stresses you out, sets you up for burnout, and prevents you from developing skills in any other areas. Finding and pursuing a hobby, on the other hand, helps you relieve stress, put your job in perspective, and build skills that complement ones you use at work. It's a breath of fresh air that keeps you grounded. And if it's a social hobby, also offers networking opportunities.
Obviously, as Muslims, we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mandated 5 times a day for our obligatory prayers. And those 5 times a day are spread throughout the day. Of course, there are other prayers which have specific times of the day and the night that they can be performed. And those are not mandatory, even though they are highly recommended, such as Salatul Layl, the night prayer. And the best time to perform the night prayer is between midnight and right before the Fajr prayer, right before the morning prayer. That is prime time. When it comes to prayer, what we are taught from the school of thought of Ahlul Bayt is to give prime time to prayer. Just like how prime time, there's prime time on TV. If you turn on the TV from the hours of 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., that's prime time. If you're producing a show, it's going to cost you more to have a show be broadcast during those hours than, for instance, the shows that are broadcast at 12 p.m. or 1 p.m. When most people are at work, and you notice a difference in quality if you turn on the TV at 12 p.m. versus if you turn it on at 7 p.m. There's a difference in quality in programming. That's called prime time. That's why you don't see major sporting events broadcast on a Wednesday at 3 p.m. because most people at work. They broadcast them on a Saturday or a Sunday when most people are chilling at home and they want to watch something on TV and sort of escape from their weekly responsibilities physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually, just detach from everything. Likewise, when it comes to your prayers, the practice of the Prophet and from the practice of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, we learn that there is a prime time.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to
Food for thought. Hello everyone, and how about listening to a prophecy from the Holy Prophet's seventh infallible heir, Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him, when asked by someone whether he was the Qa'im with the truth. I also rise truthfully, but the real Qa'im is he who will remove the enemies of God from earth and will fill it with justice. He shall be my fifth descendant. His absence will be lengthy, during which multitudes will turn away from the faith, while only a few will uphold it. Of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. This hadith is about taqiyah or dissimulation. As you know, this is a point of contention amongst the schools of thought, the madhahib within Islam. Some people consider taqiyah or dissimulation to be lawful, under certain circumstances and conditions. Others say no, it's categorically it's incorrect. As you know, taqiyah, just by way of introduction, taqiyah or dissimulation means is where we hide our faith from others because we are fearful of our lives or our property or our even our honor. There are certain verses of the Holy Quran which indicate the permissibility of such a thing. For example, in the following verse of the Holy Quran, we read, "The faithful should not take the faithless for allies instead of the faithful. And whoever does that, Allah will have nothing to do with him, except when you are wary of them out of caution." This is where the verse alludes to taqiyah. "Allah warns you to beware of disobeying Him, and towards Allah is the return." And again, in another verse of the Holy Quran, we read, Whoever renounces faith in Allah after affirming his faith, barring someone who is compelled, why, while his heart is at rest in faith, but those who open up their breasts to unfaith, upon them shall be Allah's wrath, and there is no great there, and there is a great punishment for them. In this regards, Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam said the following regarding taqiyah. He said, dissimulation is anything that is necessary, and the person faced with that situation is more knowledgeable of it when it falls upon him. Meaning this is something that everybody should weigh and assess for himself. It's not something that somebody else can tell you that, hey, this is a place where you should do taqiyah or not. Everybody should kind of see where his situation is, and if indeed this situation calls for him to hide his faith, he should. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam also has been narrated as having said, be wary for your religion and protect it through dissimulation, for there is no faith for he who does not have a place for dissimulation. La imana liman la taqiyata lah. You are among people as bees amongst birds. If birds knew what the bees harbor within them, they would not leave any of them without eating them. So this is a very beautiful parable that the Imam has mentioned here, comparing the believers to bees. Bees who have honey in their bellies. If birds knew that, they would indeed eat them. They would kill them, consume them. Same thing with the faith of the believers, right? You should try to hide it and protect it from the harm of others. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at dissimulation and taqiyah in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we are again with Brother Ali Nasir, Brother Hussein Ruhullah, Brother Hassan Nasrullah, and Brother Fawad Haider. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Everyone is fine? Fawad?
Yes.
Okay, alhamdulillah. So, welcome, brothers. So, today, inshallah, Ayah 28 is our main topic. We'll have a short explanation, and then we'll move on with the tajweed rules with the recitation, inshallah, we'll practice, okay? So, brothers and sisters, on page 53, Ayah 28 of Surah Ali Imran, please hold your Qurans and open and turn to page 53, Ayah 28. We will once listen to this ayah?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. لا يتخذ المؤمنون الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين ومن يفعل ذلك فليس من الله في شيء إلا أن تتقوا منهم تقاه ويحذركم الله نفسه وإلى الله المصير.
Now I will read and recite. Make sure you listen carefully and repeat. All right, Fawad? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Brothers and sisters also, inshallah, will listen and practice with us. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
لا يتخذ المؤمنون الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين.
لا يتخذ المؤمنون الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين
ومن يفعل ذلك فليس من الله في شيء إلا أن تتقوا منهم تقاه
وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَلَيْسَ مِنَ اللَّهِ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا أَنْ تَتَّقُوا مِنْهُمْ تُقَاهُ
وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ
وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ
وَإِلَى اللَّهِ الْمَصِيرُ
وإلى الله المصير.
أحسنتم. لا يتخذ المؤمنون الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين. Allah Almighty says the faithful, the مؤمنين, the مؤمنون should not take the faithless for allies instead of the faithful. Which means if you can make friends with مؤمنين, don't make friends with kafirin. Do not accept, do not choose as friends, as partners, as allies. Mutahideen, okay? As allies. Look, one Muslim person, okay? One Muslim. A non-Muslim just converted to Islam. Imam, this is a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam. He just became a Muslim. And his mom was not a Muslim. His mom was a non-Muslim, kafir, okay? So he came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He said that, oh Imam, what should I do? My mom is not a Muslim. Should I still go to her house, okay? Should I still talk to her? Mom said, yes, go talk to her. Serve her, okay? Respect her, be kind to her, share love with her. She's your mom, okay? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam knew what happens next if he does so. So he went to his house, to her house, okay? He was so kind with her, with her, his mom. He shared love. He cleaned his house because she was old. And she took care of her, okay? And after some days, okay, his mom asked him, okay, that what happened to you? When you were not a Muslim, you were not this good with me. But now you're a Muslim, you're so good with me. And he said, Islam is this. Islam tells us, teaches us love, respect, kindness, these things. Then his mom turned to Islam. وَإِلَى اللَّهِ الْمَصِيرِ. Make sure, okay, we'll go back to Allah Almighty. He knows. In the next ayah, inshallah, we'll learn, okay, that He knows every single thing in our heart.
هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ يُوَحِّدُنَا لِطَرِيقِ الْخَيْرِ يُوَجِّهُنَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَنْزَلَهُ وَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ مُعَلِّمُنَا
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class.
Let's recite the Quran.
So, for more explanation, I want you to refer to the Tafasir book. There are a lot to talk about taqiyya, okay, the conditions of taqiyya. Yes, there are many things. Inshallah, you can refer to the Tafasir book to learn more about them. So, we'll move on with the Tajweed rules. And that's all. Inshallah, we'll end the session after we do this. لا يتخذ المؤمنون. Again, I'm telling you this, guys. Make sure you do not make this mistake, but maybe some of our friends will do so. لا يتخذ المؤمنين. Read that alif. Don't read it لا يتخذ المؤمنين because it might change the meaning. Of course it does. It means Muslims, go make friends with kafirin, okay? While it has another meaning. Don't do that. Okay? You should not do that. لا يتخذ الذال. Pronounce it very correctly. ذال. The. Bite your tongue. لا يتخذ المؤمنون الكافرين أولياء. Right? أولياء. The mat is wajib, right?
Yes.
Yes. Is the mat wajib in أولياء?
Yes.
In أولياء. شاء. تشاء. يشاء. Sama, all the mother wajib. Remember these words, okay? I'm giving you these examples because the mad and harful mad are the hamza and harful mad are in the same word. Remember these words. So, كافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين من نون ساكن دال is إخفا. From the rest إخفا. Of the letters إخفا من دون المؤمنين hide the sound of noon. And also produce a nasal sound. Prolong it for two counts. مِن دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Sila, tell us.
Better to continue.
Let's continue. لَا يَتَّخِذِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِن دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ نُون ساكين plus ya, you merge, you produce, yes, a nasal sound. Also, prolong it for two counts. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ, right?
Yes.
ذَلِكَ فَلَيْسَ مِنَ اللَّهِ The word Allah, مِنَ اللَّهِ, the word Allah, since there is a fatha. Actually, this noon has a sukun, مِن Allah. Yeah? The rule says, the word مِن, you should put a fatha on the top, مِنَ اللَّهِ. Allah.
Mm-hmm. Question. So heavy here, sound. If there was no fatha, it would be mil.
There should be. Like, this is the rule, okay? It tells you put a fatha there. Okay? The rule of iltiqa'u sakinatain tells you this. So, فَلَيْسَ مِنَ اللَّهِ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا فِي شَيْءٍ Of course, the tanween. After tanween, we have hamza. Izhar. You don't do any rule. You don't apply any rule. Just read it. شَيْءٍ إِلَّا Right? Hussein, am I right?
Yes.
Okay, he's not sure. Make sure, okay, it's correct. إِلَّا the mad is not wajib. I think it's jais. What do you think?
It is jais.
That is jais. Why? إِلَّا أَن. The hamza is in the word أَن. Mad is in the word إِلَّا. So they are in two different words. And words and you. Huh?
So the word itself has a hamza.
Oh, it's in the beginning. We mean the hamza after the harful mat, not before. Sorry, Fawad. أَنْتَتَّقُوا إِخْفَى أَنْتَتَّقُوا مِنْهُمْ تُقَاه When you stop تُقَاه, then stop. Ta changes to ha. تُقَاه. Qila tells you it's better to stop here. وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ وَإِلَى اللَّهِ الْمَصِيرُ The word Allah must be pronounced correctly, heavily. That's all. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for listening to IRIB English Radio, and we'll recommend you stay with IRIB English Radio, inshallah. In the coming sessions, we'll be here again with you the same day, tomorrow, inshallah, the same time. So, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasir, thank you so much for being with us. Make sure, guys, for the explanation, you refer to the Tafasir book, inshallah, okay? Remember that hadith from Imam Sadiq, alayhi salam, and also the Tajweed rules, yes, we mentioned, inshallah, practice. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools for cooperation for holding this kind of Quranic sessions. May Allah bless them all, inshallah. See you. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way? All covered up in a world that gives it all away. Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Dini al-Islami dini wal-Azam ghayru dini Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We're going to talk about some of the Islamic rules or laws about purity according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, They said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching, one can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. It's about a couple of episodes that we've started talking about the rules related to the travelers' prayers and fasting. And we'd like to continue along the same line with Sheikh Javid. Sheikh Javid, let me ask you this question, because last time when you were speaking about, if I'm not mistaken, about the seventh condition, you talked about those people whose job is traveling. First of all, I want to ask you to delineate this concept and elaborate on it a little bit more for our dear audience. And what do you mean by someone whose job is traveling? And sometimes you see that some people's job requires traveling, like a driver, a chauffeur, a sailor, a shepherd, or even nomads when you talked about it, right?
Yeah.
Some people's jobs require some kind of preliminary acts of traveling.
Yes.
What do you mean by this? So does that include, this rule apply to all of his, for example, this guy's prayer or fasting?
Well, when it comes to traveling being someone's job, I think it seems to be incorrect to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
Probably we should paraphrase it in some way to make it more clear.
Mm-hmm.
A person does not travel for the sake of traveling.
Yes.
So it's not, it cannot be a job, it cannot be a profession whatsoever. Because everyone travels for a purpose. And in order to reach a point or go to a place to do some, let's say, job, okay? Whether you are, for example, a shepherd or, let's say, a driver, you are not driving for the sake of driving. You are carrying something. You are, let's say, going to a place in order to deliver something. So it is actually, we have to say it, a job which involves traveling, and that could be a proper, paraphrase for what some of the scholars, like late Imam Khomeini, for example, he has said, one whose job is traveling. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So one whose job is traveling, you can put it in this way, that one who travels as a part of his job. His job requires him to travel. So. When it comes to the preliminary to someone's job, if you want to do a job, you need to travel. Like, for example, in modern time, the factories are outside the city. They remain to be like, let's say, 20 kilometers, 30 kilometers, even 100 kilometers. People in metropolitan cities, they cannot work in the cities. They have to travel. They have to drive to those workplaces. And, of course, these workplaces are located very far from the city. And, of course, if a person is habitually going back and forth, he does not have to shorten his prayer because this is a normal part of his life and this is very routine, mm-hmm. okay? And someone who's traveling, let's say...
Traveling is his livelihood.
Yeah. He travels, like, say, once every 10 days, or even more than once, So he should, of course, offer complete prayers, and he should observe fast as well.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a short break, and we'll be back, and don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/Ian. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah. Guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. It's me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the rules related to the travelers' prayers and fasting with Sheikh Javid. Sheikh Javid, you talked about one of the conditions as to shorten the prayer because of that condition, if it happens, and that is about actually, residing in a place, in an area for a while. So if somebody, for example, has to stay somewhere like exceeding 1 year or for example, a soldier, in order to complete his military service, he needs to stay there for about two years, right? So is it obligatory for him to, intend to stay there for at least 10 days after each trip? So that they could perform the prayers, for example, in full or, fast during the month of Ramadan? Or what rule applies to their prayers and fasting if they intend to stay for less than 10 days?
Yeah. There are a lot of such people who encounter such questions. We have students, we have there are soldiers, working with the army, and of course they stay, they are recruited soldiers. Now they just as you said, as you rightly mentioned, they stay in a city for 1 year or less, okay? So according to His Eminence, even if they do not intend to stay and to stay there, since they are going to practically stay in a city, because their plans and everything is clear, they decide to stay in a city for 1 year or more or less, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So according to His Eminence, in this given case that you just mentioned, they should offer full prayer and, of course, fast in that city.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay. What about the pilots or flight attendants, what happens to their prayers and fasting? Because they're constantly on their fly, you know, from one base to another, from one airport to another, all right? They travel a large distance.
Yes, of course.
And some of them, they may be back quickly, by the way, all right?
Yeah.
So what happens to their Sharia distance?
You're right. Well, they should follow the rules that are applicable to drivers, to sellers, to, you know, to those people who frequently travel,
mm-hmm.
and who go back and forth. They move, travel from one airbase to another airbase, to one airport to another airport. And these are people who are literally called professional travelers. Yes. Again, I'm using the word professional travelers. The traveling is not a profession, but they, as part of their job, they should travel.
Mm-hmm.
A pilot is someone who cannot, you know, who must travel. And of course, these are people who should, you know, follow the rules which are applied to car drivers, to, you know, sellers, and so on and so forth. So therefore, their rule in this regard is the rule of car drivers or sellers or
chauffeurs.
You know, yes, yeah. And these are people during their traveling, and they have to pray full, and their fasting is also valid.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javed, for your nice contribution to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. We try to talk about some of the questions and answers related to travelers' prayers and fasting. But of course, there are lots of other questions that are remaining, and we'd like to postpone them to the upcoming episode. So stay with us, and wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosro Shahi.
Shahid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr.
He was born in Kadhimiya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahrudi was...
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see...
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi,
be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. We're welcome to another episode of the program The Teacher, an introduction into the thoughts and works of the most outstanding Muslim Shiite personalities and scholars all across the world of Islam. I am Atta, the host of this program. I have two very special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom for today's discussion, Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi and Shaykh Rouhani. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Sheikh Rani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about one of the most outstanding muhaddisin, mufassirin, mutakallimin, and fuqaha of the 6th century Hijrah. He is no one but Sayyid ibn Hibatullah Ravandi Kashani, mainly known as Qutbuddin Ravandi. There are so many books written by this outstanding man, Fiqh al-Quran, al-Kharaj, wa al-Jara'ih. Of course, we'll get to these books, but before that, let's be more familiar.